Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome, y'all, to another one, man. This is your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation, where y'all know what I do each and every week. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people, and y'all know I'm going to do the same thing this week. But before we get into my guests and what we got going on this week, y'all know how I do, man. I have to start the show off like I do every week, giving thanks, right, to all the people that download the audio version of this platform, because it is the most important part of the platform, and I get it. You know, I talk to people all the time, man. You know, they always asking me about the platform game, and they ask me about podcasting and stuff like that. And you know, once people get into it, they realize that it's a lot of work that goes into it that you got to do after your show, right? But that's when they're dealing with the visual part, right? Because I think most people have been introduced to podcasts through a visual platform, whether it was YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you know, wherever people consume, you know, short form video. And from there, they have been introduced to the podcast game. And so from there, they realize that, oh, when it comes down to it, that's why so many people, when they start their platforms, they go buy a studio and they do all these things and they try to get guests to come in. And when you realize that it's not as easy as it seems when you go to other platforms, when you see other platforms and they seem like they always got guests. You know, for some of y'all don't understand they method. Some of them, they take a bunch of shows in one day and then they drop them once a week, right? And then there's some people, because it take a lot in the background. Some people can't do a podcast every day and then do what it takes in the background to maintain it every day, especially when they don't have a certain type of listenership. You got to build for it. So a lot of people get burnt out when they start these podcasts. It's like any other art or any other entrepreneurial adventure. That's what I like to call it. Whenever you're an entrepreneur, you go on adventures whenever you're trying your visions out. And for most part, most people look at that and they say, man, this is not going the way I wanted to. My guests are canceling on me or whatever happens. And so then they give up the platform and they feel like it's not meant for them, because somewhere along the line, people have gotten this idea in their head that if something is meant for them, that it's supposed to be easy. It's not. You know, and I don't get it. I don't get why that's the mentality for everybody that walks around thinking that, you know, if something is for me, that it's going to be easy. It should come easy. It should be easy. It should never be hard. Because they feel like when anything comes from God, it's supposed to be easy. Now, I've heard so many different people put that into a box, too, and they'll say it in a heartbeat, like, yo, I don't think that's what you're supposed to do, because if it was what you're supposed to do, then God will make it easy for you. I don't know nowhere where nobody has ever said because of that. Now, I'm not saying divine intervention doesn't take, its place in human existence or even in your life, whoever you are, or me too. Like, I can say there's things that came in divinely, but there's nothing that I can say about what I have to do that tells me that I'm not supposed to do it because it's hard. Like, listen, it was hard when I first tried to learn how to ride a bike. But eventually I got it and it became mad easy because I kept trying. And I think that's what everybody in the world. So you're saying it was easy? You're not meant to ride a bike? I mean, come on. You know how many people out here say they can't swim, but they always want to be somewhere with water at? Now, you tell me, what's the difference in a person learning how to swim and a person knowing how to swim? What's the difference between the two? It's really nothing. The only person that knows how to swim is because they learn how to swim. So there's no different. You got to want to do it in order to do it. Not because it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. You got to get everything down. Going to the gym, you got to get your form down. People going in, they should start lifting heavy weights because somewhere somebody told them that that's how they're supposed to do it. And no, you got to get your form down. You got to get your rhythm. You got to get your flow. You got to understand your body. You got to see what muscles you're targeting. You got to ease into where you're trying to go. And I don't know why, you know, that people don't get that, you know, when it comes down to it. But listen, I'm going to thank each and every week, I'm going to thank my audio listeners and my people who download the joints, the audio version of the podcast, because they're doing it all over the world, not just where I am, not just where my guests be whenever they come on. And that's the dopest thing about these platforms, because even after the show, it doesn't matter how many people watch us live. What matters is the content is big. So that means that between me and my guests, once they come on the show, once they get off the show, if they have a message, if they have a platform themselves, they have content now that they can help share their perspective from a whole nother angle, especially if they're the ones that's normally used to facilitating the conversation or doing interviews. You know, some people have an interview style. I do more of a conversation, right? So thank you to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. Thank y'all so much. And for all of y'all that's been asking, Spark a Conversation merch. Yes, it is available. It is available on the store. Now, listen, you know, so many people be asking me like, yo, Rob, I want to support you, right? I want to support what you have going on. And I'm a person that says, thank you for wanting to do that. Right. So what you got to do is you click the link in our link tree. Right. That's my link tree right there. And you go in and you see merch. If not, all you got to do is hit me up personally. I'll get you the link and you can order your merch and we can get it in. But for those that, you know, support Sparking Conversation and like what we got going on, because I do bring y'all some of the world's most interesting people. I'm not going to lie. And a lot of the things that people go through in this world, you know, just because they're not famous don't mean they don't have a story. Everybody has a purpose. You know, fame just might not be your purpose. And some people who is famous, it looks like it wasn't their purpose either. That's getting caught in all these tapes and stuff like that, right? I'm sure that wasn't their purpose either. But they there, it's here, and I'm not judging, right? Speaking of not judging, now, y'all know I got to give y'all what's been going on throughout the week. Y'all know I have a couple of different interesting takes before I bring my guest on. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure that you ladies know, I want y'all to get this in your head, right? So many of us are going through this whole thing where people are separating us, right? They're separating us by race, religion, and politics. We know that. Then they're separating us by gender as well, too. You know, all these battles between men versus women, men this, women that, this, that, and the third, all this extra stuff. But I want, you know, to let you ladies know something. I mean, I know it's very seldom that men come up and we talk about the difference between having a pride and having ego when it comes to men. I know a lot of you ladies feel like y'all know men to a T. Y'all think y'all know men better than men. I ain't bet. Y'all keep thinking that. I ain't mad at you. Do what you do. You're going to be wrong 100% of the 100% of the time. You're going to be wrong, but it's cool because what you do know is the people that you've been associated with. But let me tell you one of these things that's kind of brought across all of us that are men is something that we know when you ask us about our ego. It's because this is where that comes into play. Listen, there are men out here who are not privy to women like you think they are. You may think that there's a bunch of men out here who just go out here and they, because you know the thing is all men cheat, all men this, that, and that. We get that, but I don't know why y'all think that it just is out there for all men like that. It's not. One of the top trending stories this week has been a guy who, you know, really literally unalived himself over the relationship that he had with artificial intelligence. So listen. He has a relationship with artificial intelligence. Why? Because AI is that advanced right now. I mean, of course, they're easing it in like it's a slow thing, but it's not. It's been advanced 10 years ago, and they're just dropping it on. But some of these people are experimenting with AI in a totally different way. So guys who are not used to having nobody that is interested in them has an artificial intelligence that's interested in them now, telling them everything they want to hear, telling them everything that they think, giving them all these other things. And then guess what happens? He unalives himself. Why? Because the AI told him that's the only way that he could be with her. For real. Now, y'all think about that, man. This is why I'm saying to y'all, you got to get yourself out of the way that, you know, I can't tell a person how to think, but I will tell you that the changing of your mindset will change the way that you view things. You got to look at the cup either half empty or half full. Most people who look half empty don't see that men don't have it like you think they do. There are only a certain type of men that actually be able to do the things that women are accusing all men of doing. And then there's those that are able to do certain things because of the dollar amount that they're attached to, or the fame that's attached to them, or, you know, just people who may be attaching to somebody because they feel like they're going somewhere, or it's just a person who just got it. They were just born with it. This guy just was born with it. He was meant for it to be this way. Then there's those, right? But then you got certain people out here who are looking for perfection in men. The 1% of men, 6 feet, 6 inches, making more than six figures. Now, these unicorn men that women are looking for, understand, if you all are doing your life based on, you know, your preference and not your standard, then all of y'all are going to be competing for the same guy. So while y'all out here looking for the same guy, the guy that will treat you like you need to be treated is over here having a conversation with somebody that don't even live here no more. Oh, well, they ain't even lived here. They ain't never lived here. They inside a computer, inside their phone. That's the dude that I'm talking about that will help you get to the next level, but that ain't what you want. Because then you got to think about this. There's women out here who really feel like because of the way they look that they don't have to contribute to a household. Now, the thing going on with the ex basketball player's girlfriend that's out here trending, talking about, does she look like the type of person that goes 50-50 on bills? And I'm trying to figure out, what does that look like? Like, what does a person supposed to look like that don't contribute? You just look like a liability. You are not an asset at all. Most men, if they're making a certain amount of money, are looking for people to add to them, make their life easier, not harder. But I get it. You know, the society has made everyone feel like the way you look is the most important, and you think that the way you look is gives you a certain level of entitlement. But we trying to understand, well, where your heart at? Because, like, yo, don't you want the person that is there that has to lay his life down for you? Don't you want him to be always in a great financial space to make sure that you are? So why should he do all the giving? And, you know, she says the simplest things that didn't make sense of so why she feels like that. But the main thing is because of how she looks. Well, you look kind of crazy, Ma. I'm not saying you're not a beautiful girl if that's how you feel about yourself, but you look crazy. Most women don't understand. You can look as good as you want to aesthetically out here, but the moment you open your mouth and say something that's mad ugly, you go right back down to wherever else you feel like you're better than. You're not better than them. That's why y'all look at it. Y'all go to certain places. The women are the least attractive, got the most, you know, they in the relationship. Because they got something that y'all ain't got. And that's a personality. And probably more than that, it's a heart. But that's neither here nor there. But y'all know I got to give y'all what's trending. Because not only that, y'all heard about all the secret streets they got under L.A. They got under New York. You know that the cities was built on top of cities. I know y'all know that. But dad, yo, look at all the extra things that's going on around you, man. Like, yo, it was Florida just came from catching 150-something people in a human trafficking ring, yo. Like, kind of grasp your head around that. 157 people just got caught in Florida for a sex trafficking ring. And guess what? How many of those employees do you guys think worked at Disney? Sheesh. The number one place that people take their children. And look, don't get me wrong. It wasn't just the employees that worked there that were just regular employees. These was ex-military. This was active military. This was police officers. Active police officers involved. And y'all wonder why it's so easy. You know, you got to think about it. Like, how are these children and these women are tired of just, I guess y'all know why. So, more so than ever, we got to find ways to protect what's ours. So, you know, listen, I don't know what I can say that's going to change anything, but I will say it regardless. Ladies, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Don't be so eager to count the faults of a person in your life, especially if you got somebody that care about you enough that they lay your life down for you. You got to pick and choose your struggle or what you want to do. Don't push these people out your life, because pushing them out your life can ultimately cause you to go through some things that you may not want to do because the person's not there to protect you. Because there's people out here hunting for y'all, man. I just want y'all to know that this is holiday season. Pay attention. If you find money on the ground, do not pick it up. At least don't pick it up with your hands. Why? Because you know that's the setup, right? They know people are looking for ways to find ways to spend more, so they're going to use that. If you find flyers on your windshields and on your door handles, don't touch it. Ladies, do not touch it. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's for the store in front of there. You know these people got access to computers. They got access to copy and make flyers that look like wood. Don't touch it, right? Pay attention to gas pumps before you just grab it out the pump and look around, inspect it. Take a few seconds. Just pay attention, y'all, right? Make sure there's no stickers and no extra outside stickers on the pump handle. I don't care. I don't care if it looked like Hello Kitty. I don't care if it looked like Elmo. It don't matter. If it's on the pump, it ain't supposed to be there. Don't use it. Go around, use another one. If it ain't, go in there and tell the people in the store, listen, look, they got stickers out there on your pumps. It's not supposed to be on there. Tell them, don't look, look, pay attention, y'all, right? These are all the things they're using to put y'all in trunks. So you can't say I didn't tell y'all. But other than that, it's time for me to bring my guest on. We got to chop it up. We got some things going on that we need to find out about her life. And I'm just so excited to have her on. You know, I'm be honest with y'all. I'm excited about all the guests that come on the platform because I'm going to tell you something. When they come here, every guest that I've had on so far hasn't been one. And we're on episode 105. I haven't had one that didn't bring some value. So you know tonight going to be the same thing. So let's get Megan in the building, and we're going to chop it up with her and see what's going on in her world. There she go. Hello.
Hey, y'all. I'm Megan. Happy to be here.
Definitely, definitely. So look, Megan, this is what we're going to do. I know you just said your name, but we want to give you a formal introduction, right? We want you to introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
Okay. My name is Megan Claire Murphy. I'm a 39-year-old professional actress currently living in a small southern town in Alabama, USA. I lived here most of my life, grew up here, except for the 6 years that I lived in New York City. I lived in New York City from 2012 to 2018. And I've always known that singing and like performing and playing pretend, even from a very young age, I used to sing in front of my parents and put on little shows for my parents. So I always knew that performing was something that I enjoyed doing, but I didn't decide to make it a career until I got to college. And that's when, because I did plays all through high school, and the first 2 years of college, I went to a junior college because I didn't know what I wanted to major in. And so after the first 2 years of college, I decided, you know what, this theater thing is no longer just an extracurricular activity. Like, this is what I want to do for my life. I got a theater scholarship. I got a bachelor's degree in theater from a school here in Alabama. And then I worked a couple of odd jobs after that. I worked at a theater in West Bloomfield, Michigan. I was the intern there, and I got to perform in their children's theater play that tours around to all of the elementary schools in the Detroit area and performs shows for the kids. So that was a really fun job. And then I graduated college in 2008, and then I didn't move to New York City until 2012. And I lived there for 6 years, and I didn't come as far as I thought I would. Like, when I first got there, I thought I'll be on Broadway within a year. I had pretty high expectations, but that didn't happen. But I did get to work at an off-Broadway theater doing sketch comedy. But that was fun. And I got to become a member of both actors' unions, SAG-AFTRA and Actors Equity. And I did some children's theater while I was there. So anyway, in 2018, not much was happening in my career or my personal life, and my finances were running out. So I decided to move back home to Alabama in 2018 just to take care of my mental health, which is a whole nother story.
Right.
I was just feeling like burnout with everything, with New York, with my acting career, with my personal life, with everything. And I just, anyway, so I moved home in 2018 for those reasons. And then the pandemic happened and I ended up staying here for longer than I planned. And now I'm still here, but it's okay because last year I started my own YouTube show for kids called The Aunt Nene Show. That's why it says AKA Aunt Nene right there.
Yeah.
It was inspired by my 7-year-old nephew who calls me Aunt Nene in real life.
Right.
Because when he was a baby, he couldn't say Megan. And so somebody was like, "Who is that?" And he said, "Nene."
Gotcha.
Now he's 7 and he still calls me that. I'm rambling, I feel like.
No, it's great. Because here's the thing. The reason why I do that whenever guests come on, because hey, that gives us where we could pull from, right? Gives us great places to have a conversation from. So here's a couple of things I wanna talk about. So whenever you decided to take acting serious, because most of us do, like once we really get inside of us that this is our vision, this is our goal, this is our purpose, we go for it, right? And then, like I said earlier, before we, you know, I brought you on, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of people who come into certain things expecting it to go a certain way. And then when it doesn't, they start to feel like it's not for them. When in actuality, it is. It's just leading you towards your purpose. You probably weren't meant to be famous there in that capacity. But you got to work with a lot in children. Theater, children's. So like you said, like all the little steps that you just said was like, yo, it kept leading you back to more productions with children when you was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Same thing for the kids. And then now full circle, you have your own YouTube. And Aunt Nene, and you're building it, so there's your acting, there's your singing, because look, Rachel got kids in a she got kids hypnotized right now.
I know, Miss Rachel.
So it's got to be room for some more, right? So no, I like that, yo. So talk to me a little bit more about, you know, New York. Let's stay in New York real quick. Right, we'll come back to Alabama, but let's do New York. So in New York, I know you said off-Broadway theater and some children's theater, but what are some of the other things that you tried out for, even if you didn't get them?
Oh, I auditioned for a lot of Broadway shows, actually, theater shows and regional theater shows. I remember auditioning for the Mary Poppins on Broadway years ago. And it was Mary Poppins. They were looking for replacements because Mary Poppins had been running for a couple of years by that point.
Right.
And then I remember auditioning for, I don't know if it's okay for me to say, but the production of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child that's on Broadway right now. I remember auditioning for that when it was still in development. Like it hadn't even premiered on Broadway yet.
Everybody
wanted to audition for that. There were so many people there. But I met a couple of people during that audition, like other actresses who had gone to that audition that I'm still friends with to this day. So
that's great.
Even though I didn't get the part, something good happened from it.
Yeah. That's how it mainly be. Because like I said, our role to our purpose is not told to us. It's just told to us that we have a purpose. We got this thing inside of us. But how we get there, you know, that be the thing that I wish sometimes we had a little peek into. not necessarily whether it's going to happen or not, because it can happen as long as we stay consistent, right? But how it's going to happen, that's the thing that I think a lot of people want to know. Because look, sketch comedy is not easy either.
No.
Right? Because you got to come off, you got to be quick up here. You got to be in the moment. It can't be something that you overthink at all. So let's talk about that.
It wasn't improv. It was scripted comedy, like Saturday Night Live style.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
We already knew the words that we were gonna say. We didn't have to improv too much.
Oh, okay. Well, I come from the world of improv. We do comedy skits on my end too. We film them, right? But we do all improv. Like I come up with the scenarios and all these different things, but we do anywhere between 3 to 5 minute clips, and they're all improv, right? And the reason why I like to do improv, because it keeps you sharp. It keeps you sharp on being able to become certain things without overthinking it. Because most of the times when I've been on sets with actors, even the so-called ones that are professional, they get caught up too much in the words, and then there's 1,000 takes of something. Because the person is too caught up in the words, because they're getting hung up in it and remember, and because they're not in the moment. All they thinking about delivering the lines, and they're not in the moment of the scene. And that's what gets them tripped up. So whenever I started doing productions on my own, I figured, like, listen, hold on, let's just see what we could do with natural reactions from people. And let me just see if I could feed them the scenario, let's see what they can give me back. And we've been doing it for about 3 years now. We started during the pandemic because I'm an artist, right? Well, you know, I did music for a long time, and I wasn't able to travel and do shows and none of that stuff no more because of the pandemic. And I had new music that was coming out too. And that's what was really crazy. I had new stuff and everything was ready to go, and boom, so many things was lined up. And it was just like, boom, pandemic, all that went away. And it was a little depressing for a little bit because, you know, like I said, mentally you get in a funk whenever you feel like you're supposed to be doing something and then it doesn't always work out the way that you plan it to work. But it pushed me to pick up the camera instead during that time. And then from then on, it allowed me to balance it all out up until where we are now. So, hey, I'll tell you something about following, you know, the vision and not always trying to create it. So that was cool. So did you meet a lot of cool people doing that?
Yeah. I met so many cool people when I lived in New York. But you were talking about just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not meant for you.
Right.
My acting career has had a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of rejection. I experienced a lot of rejection at auditions in New York.
Yeah.
But I think when I moved back home, there was kind of a lull in my acting career for a couple of years. I didn't do anything or audition for anything, but I always knew that I wasn't gonna give up during that time or ever. Right. I always knew that I was gonna pick it back up and start again at some point. And that's what I decided to do. That was my New Year's resolution. What was it? Yeah, it was in the beginning of last year, the beginning of 2023. I decided that I was gonna take charge of my career. And first of all, I started working with a local agent here in Alabama.
Right.
And then I decided that if nobody else was gonna give me a job, an acting job, then I was gonna create my own show and take charge of my own life.
Right.
And I knew it had to be a kid show because, like you said, I had so many experiences working with kids. And then I have my nephew who was the inspiration for the show. So I decided I'm gonna put a video on YouTube, and I know all these silly songs from Girl Scout camp because I was a summer camp counselor for many years. And so I said, well, I'll just sing one of my camp songs and make a video of it and put it on YouTube and see what happens. And it did okay at first. It got a modest amount of views. And I thought, well, this is fun. I'll just keep on doing it. And so I made some more videos. And I decided to call it the Aunt Nene Show. And
that's good.
Then my 20th video that I posted got over 54,000 views on YouTube suddenly. I don't know how it happened, but after that, I started to think, well, maybe this actually could really be something. And so then I found these two guys that are my producers now. I'm working with two different producers now, and they're helping me make the show even bigger and better in the present and in the future than it was in the past. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's good. No, I wanted, because that's what, that was going to be my next thing, because
that's nervous for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. But that's the thing about rejection, right? For a lot of people, they'll look at that rejection is bad. And sometimes rejection is protection. And what I mean by that is because this is a really ugly business that a lot of us have dreams and aspirations to be in. Whether it's music, whether it's entertainment, whether it's sports, all of these things come with certain things, right? They come with a negative part that is not spoken out loud, but spoken amongst that community. But then as you see with different things that's going on in the news now with different people in certain entertainment spaces, that it just wasn't always good for people, right? Because I say this, I had a lady on, her and her husband they work in Hollywood now, right? And so the husband is, he's an editor, so he edits for movies and television shows in Hollywood now. She's a former makeup artist for movies, not just the glamorous time. She was the one that helped you if you needed to look sleepy, if you needed to look like you got abused, if all of these different things. She was that type of makeup artist. And so we was having a conversation too about, you know, her being in a part of, you know, so many people come to California with the dream of making it big in Hollywood. So many people come to New York with the dream of making it big in Broadway, right? Because it is what it is.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Right. But see, here's the thing. Skid Row, like if you come to look at in California and you look at that space called Skid Row, you know, that's the most talented place in California. It's more talented than Hollywood. But those people that are in Skid Row are all alcoholics, drug addicts, or, you know, just, you know, in that particular lifestyle. But they are the people who went out there with the dream. You're talking about musicians and everything else that got used and abused up in that business because they were people that was called, quote unquote, expendable. But they had such raw talent and gifts, and they had the eagerness to make it, that because they had the eagerness to make it, they took anything and everything, and then it wound up taking them. So sometimes people don't understand how much of a calling they have on their life because they look at rejection as an end-all be-all instead of looking at rejection as protection, right? You got rejected from all those other places because God, or I don't know what you believe in or and all the other things, but I like to speak in spiritual spaces to kind of bring it in because, you know, a lot of people are protected by divinely. I'm just going to be honest. Divinely, some people are protected. They don't see it all the time.
You can say God. I believe in a higher power. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm religious, but
yeah,
I don't mind if you use the word God.
Okay, yeah, great. Because, you know, I don't know. Like, and nowadays, you know, it's not about offending people. I'm going to be authentically me, but I feel like at the end of the day, I don't know. People's spirituality, or even if people even think about it from those perspectives sometimes. Sometimes people don't. They don't look at their life from a spiritual base. They mostly look at it from a physical space, right? Because that's how rejection make you feel. Rejection make you feel it physically. Because it's something on the inside of you that make you think that it's something wrong with you, or you're not good enough. When technically, it ain't even got nothing to do with you being good enough. It's just not your purpose. But you were meant to go through this because this is how you ended up. And for you, think about it. All those auditions you got on and you got rejected, had you would have got those, you would have never made the anime show.
Yeah, and like all those rejections and stuff that I experienced personally and professionally just made me into who I am today and made me the person that I needed to be in this moment to do what I'm doing now, which is the Anane show.
Right, right. Because that's how it go, right? We go through things, and you know, there was always this old this saying that I used to know, and they said that all things work together for good, you know, for those that love God, right? This is not about being religious. It's just that all things work for good. It's just that sometimes people are not able to see the good in the bad because it feels bad. And then, you know, because like you said, you got personal and business. So in the personal space, I'm sure you probably was dealing with what, personal relationships, like, you know, with friends or your boyfriend or whatever.
I had a relationship that had just ended shortly before I moved back home, and it was hard because gotcha. I don't want to get into it, but
yeah you don't have to get into it, but
yeah, that was part of it.
That was part of the reason why you left or came back, or you know, part that of the was just hard that
it's part of the reason that I moved back home, but it's not the biggest reason.
Gotcha.
But if I'm being honest with myself, yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Well, you know, and then even that's another thing in life about the reset, right? Sometimes that reset that we need, it comes from being in a familiar place sometimes. I know for me, it's difficult, right? Because with me being a Met, because I'm from New Jersey and I live in North Carolina right now, right? And so whenever things go to a certain space, it always makes me feel like, damn, should I go back home? I know if I went home, you know, I could do it. Well, it's always these things.
The main reason I moved back home was because I couldn't pay my rent anymore in New York.
Well, yeah, that, listen, that for anybody living in New York, trust me, nobody can judge you for that, because trust me, would you pay him in Alabama? I'm sure that ain't nothing near what you was paying in New York. Trust me.
Yeah, housing is much less expensive in Alabama.
Sheesh, I know that for a fact, right? But regardless of the way the reasons why, right? They all could be looked at as a bad thing. Sometimes people lose their job. Right. And not even then, you know, or whatever they was using to pay their bills sometimes. And it forces them to have to do a reset. That's the hardest part for people to do, to pick themselves back up once they felt like they failed. But you made a determined, you know, decision that I'm going to get something started. And you started with the Aunt Nene show. So in your travel to Detroit, did you go from New York to Alabama, then to Michigan? Or did you go from New York to Michigan, then to Alabama?
I graduated college in 2008, and then the year after I graduated college, from 2008 to 2009, I lived in Michigan, and then I moved back to Alabama for a couple of years after that, and then in 2012, I moved from Alabama to New York, and then now I'm back home in Alabama.
Right. And then, so now with your new production that you're doing in Alabama, are you doing it in a way where are you looking to expand the brand, like with like a whole layout? Like, how long is your show right now? Like the length of the show.
Usually each episode, it's episodic. So usually each episode is around 2 to 5 minutes in length. Some of them are shorter. Some of them are a little bit longer. Our Halloween Spooktacular episode that we just did a couple days ago, last Saturday, is around, it's a little over 9 minutes in length, but that's the longest one.
Oh, that's cool.
We did a Halloween Spooktacular special. We premiere a new episode once a week, every Saturday morning.
Right.
So last Saturday, that was the episode, was the Halloween Spooktacular.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, you should check it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So see, me, I want the audience to know what you got going on too, if they haven't seen it. Right? Like, they need to know, like, do you use puppets, or is it just you? And or how does the show look?
It's like a variety show. I sing songs, I do jokes. There's storytelling, there's educational content, and more. Some of the more is that we go to different destinations and explore different places.
Yeah.
Like next week, we're going to have Aunt Nene goes to Callaway Gardens, Georgia, which is this, have you heard of it before? It's a resort in Georgia. Anyway, I went there. And I'm going to make an episode about it. Actually, I already have made an episode about it. We're just going to premiere
it.
I'm nervous. We're going to premiere it on next Saturday, November 2nd.
Gotcha. So
it's like a variety show. So we have a lot of different things. And sometimes we bring on special guests. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes I'll have a guest that I interview. Just like you're talking to me, so I'll have a guest that I interview on my show. For example, we had a lady who was a financial advisor. Well, she is a financial advisor.
She
taught the kids basic facts about money management. And then we had this other young lady who works with youth organizations. And we did an episode about how to prevent bullying and how bullying is wrong. It was like the anti-bullying episode.
Right.
So it's just a variety of different things.
No, but that's cool that you attack those things from that angle, because you know, I guess with most of the shows that kids are learning, it'd be more for, so is there an age range that you're focusing on? I guess before I say what I said.
Around 8 years old and younger.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, because those are topics that kids need to be learning earlier, to me, I think. Like financial advice and how money works, what the differences in investing, what's the difference in saving, just so they can get it in, you know, inside of them early, so they could be more aware of how to look for it as they grow, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think that's really good, man. And so how, I know you said every week, and you've been doing it for about a year or so now, right? At least two.
I've been doing it since March of 2023. I took a few months hiatus during the SAG-AFTRA strike last year in solidarity with SAG-AFTRA because I am a member of that union. So I took a hiatus for about, I guess it was about 6 months. But then in after the strike was over, I picked it back up, which was in January, I think. They finally broke the strike. I don't remember.
Right.
But
I vaguely remember, but I think it was earlier this year, or was it like late last year or early this year, whenever they did, and everything just started opening back up, getting ready. Which was cool, because whenever the strike was going on, I was talking to a lot of content creators. I was saying, look, this is your time. to get as much content shot, done, and put out, because there are no new movies dropping, there are no new television shows. This is the time to really get in and get rolling. So whenever they get back to watching, eyes are already be on you. And some people listened, some people didn't. I took advantage of the strike, you know, because we put out so much content during that.
I probably would have done that too if I hadn't been a member of SAG-AFTRA, but I just decided to be in solidarity with the.
Look, most people
I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Right. So I didn't know if I would get in trouble if, as a SAG-AFTRA member, if I continued to make my show. Like, maybe not right away, but like eventually, if they found out a couple of years down the road. I don't know.
You did what you had to do. Everything ain't for everybody, but you know, it's cool because right now you're on a roll. But I'd have been filming. Even if I wouldn't have put it out, I would have had it in the tuck already. So whenever you're trying to pull that trigger, I have so much content. So then now I'm starting to work on new stuff, and then it's just a flow from now on. Mm-hmm. No more hiccups, no pauses, no nothing in talk. So no, I get where you're coming from because, you know, there were a lot of actors who, because they were SAG, they couldn't jump out there and do their own independent projects, which was weird. That's the only thing about being connected to certain things, right? They get to control what you do. Now, I understand that unions is important to make sure, you know, actors get paid fairly and treated fairly and stuff like that. But, you know, this is just me personally, right? Not a thing against nobody else. But it's just something about someone telling me what I can do or not do with my gift. It just bothers me. Right? Because none of us, you know, asked for these gifts. These gifts was given to us freely. And to give another person permission over that, it just doesn't sit well with me. Like, just give them permission over my gift. It just doesn't sit well for me. So, yeah, I might be more of a rebel in that space, right? But for those people who didn't, I mean, it's still respectable too, because loyalty is important too, right? And then that was part of who you was part of, so being loyal to them is important. So, no, I get it. You know, so how did you pick your team? I know I have been talking to your agent before we actually got the interview, which I thought was cool. Yeah. So how long have you been working with Kevin?
So Kevin is actually, he's one of my producers and he's also my publicist. Part of his job as a publicist is to book me on different podcasts and stuff like yours. Yeah. And as a producer, my other producer is named Hugo. And he does a lot of the production work, like he does the editing, and both Kevin and Hugo help contribute ideas for what we should do on the show.
Yeah.
Kevin handles most of the booking of guest stars and the casting of finding people to be on the show. Yeah. But they both do the creative work in the sense that they both come up with ideas and contribute ideas, and they're a tremendous help. So thank you to both of you. But I don't know what I would do without them, first of all. But in the end, the last creative decision is mine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still sense. Like, they've come up with some great ideas and we've done almost everything that they've come up with, but if I don't like something, I can be like, well, no, I'm not really feeling that. I think this would be a better idea. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But that's how it's supposed to be in a team. And it's good that you have a team. You know, people that believe in your vision, first of all, right? Mm-hmm. Enough for them to be able to see it all the way through. Because most people look at it and they can see whether this should be worth it or not, or whether it be lucrative or not. Like, let's be honest. We want people, we don't want to do things just to do it. We want to, you know, be a blessing to people, but we also want to make a living being a blessing to people as well. So, you know, the fact that these two guys take on those responsibilities for you and allow you to stay creative and not have to do so much work focusing on how to book people so you can get more publicity and get more eyes on you. And, you know, that's amazing, because believe it or not, everybody don't have that, right? Everybody don't have people who pour into them, right? By using their own gifts.
Yeah.
What you gonna say?
And the editing work that Hugo does is amazing. Like, let me think of an example. He did all of the editing on the, well, he did a lot of the editing on the Halloween special and the anti-bullying episode, for example. Right. And he does an amazing job with it. So I don't know where I would be without both of them.
That makes sense. And that's cool too. I'm going to be honest, that's really cool to have a team that's, like I said, that believes in you and they stand behind you, and the fact that, you know,
and they do,
you know,
they do, they both of them really do genuinely believe in the NNA show and what I'm trying to do and what we're trying to do with the show. So I'm really happy to have them on board.
Yeah, that's a blessing. I'm going to be honest with you. That's really cool. And I hope everybody continues to keep that same energy no matter how successful the platform gets, because, you know, we want to make sure that people can maintain the same way you go in is the same way you stay in, right? Because a team is very important. Having the right group of people around you is so important to your growth, to everybody's growth, right? Especially when people could come in and contribute. And not take away, right? Not try to control your asset, not trying to make it theirs, but just add to it. That's genuine.
No.
There's not a lot of genuine people like that out here.
Yeah, they would never try to take it away from me or make it theirs. Instead, they're genuinely invested and really believe in it.
That's really great. And I hope, you know, they're watching, or, you know, I'm sure they're going to watch the playback. And, you know, I hope you guys that are a part of her team really continue to help it grow, and you guys all become successful at this, man. I want to see the At Nene Show come up whenever you pull up kids programming on YouTube. I want to pull up, because my son be having it on Elmo and Rachel all day long. So, you know, and he's only two. So I'm definitely going to run across the Aunt Nene Show, and I'm going to show him some of your episodes and have him go. And I'm going to throw you in there in a rotation as well, too. So okay. I'm going to subscribe to your channel. As a matter of fact, yeah, we're going to subscribe to your channel right now. I'm going to go to YouTube live right now on air. Let's see. YouTube. And I'm going to subscribe to your channel right now. Spartan Conversation.
You.
Yeah, because it's important to support each other, man, in each other's platform. You know, you guys, hopefully you guys follow Spartan Conversation so you can see your show and as well as other great people. Let's see. Aunt Nene. You gave me the link here. Let me look at it. YouTube at MMMurphy 47. Let's see. Matter of fact,
I did.
So I found it right because you sent it to me. I just saw it in it's in the private chat. So what we're gonna do once we come off the show, because, you know, and then I'll click on it. I'll go ahead and follow you, and I'll subscribe. Well, I'll subscribe to your YouTube channel, which would be great because yeah, I'm going to throw you in a rotation and see what Aunt Nene got going on out here in the world, right?
Okay. And I just want to say...
Okay, go ahead. Tell me. What you want to say? Go ahead.
The main mission of the Aunt Nene Show is to help kids find their talents and find their gifts and inspire kids to learn new things and mostly to make kids happy. Like, it's not all about me because I want to be famous or anything. The main reason I started doing it was for the kids. Gotcha. This sounds cheesy, but that's the truth.
No, I mean, sometimes, you know, it's simple. The truth is simple. It doesn't need a whole bunch of dramatics thrown onto it and, you know, a bunch of violins showing up in the background. You know, it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's just straight to the point. Like, hey, I want to make kids happy. I want them to learn and, you know, I'm giving back. And basically you are. You're being a light. There's so many people out here who want to be, you know, the opposite of that. So.
And at the same time, I like doing it and it's fun and I enjoy mm-hmm. doing it. So it makes me happy and fulfills me as a person. Like, yeah. I feel like this is what I'm, what if this is my life's work? Like, what if this is the big thing for me?
That's right. I mean, it already is.
And we're just getting started. So.
Right. So it already is. That's what I was going to say. Like, you know, sometimes it's how you feel about it. Like, this is the big thing for you, right? Yeah, it could be other opportunities that come from it, right? You're going to get on more platforms, yeah. I'm sure. You know, your publisher's going to have you on other platforms. And you did an interview earlier today, didn't you?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I would like to be in films and TV, maybe on Broadway at least once in my life, too. So I'm still I'm still auditioning for other roles in film, TV, and theater outside of the NNA show. But even if I were to get, like, have a big career in films and Hollywood, I think I'd still continue doing the NNA show. Like, I'm not going to stop doing it just because something else comes along or better, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, you know, you have, it's more pieces to life, right? And I mean, and so many of us, you know, have been told all our lives to just focus on one thing. But for some of us, it's just not how the way, it's not the way our brain works. It's not the way our life is set up. So being able to walk and chew gum at the same time is just something mm-hmm. that a lot of people could pretty much do if they tried it, right? But, you know, hey. Everybody can't be you. So, yeah, continue the audition and all that other stuff, yo, because it's out there for you. But then again, you know, like you're saying, like, don't stop you. Don't stop believing in you. That would be the only thing that I would tell you. Like, yo, continue to go look for these things, even if you create your own. You know, you'll be able to create short films and stuff on your own. After a while, you know, and then when it comes to Broadway, hey, who knows? You may run across somebody who has an amazing play that you guys can start with a local theater and then blow it up. Mm-hmm. You just never know. You know what I'm saying? The point is that, you know, what you put out in the atmosphere is what you're going to get back. You know, we're supposed to attract the things that's for us, not search for them, not beg for them, right? We're supposed to attract them. And a lot of times that stuff pulls to us based on how we feel about us. If you already can see yourself there, then it's already happened. Somebody told me one time before, if you can see it, you can touch it. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful. And that's really powerful because, yeah, if it's in your mind to do, like I say all the time, even when I get 10 views on my podcast, I always say, yo, it's 1,000,001 views. Like, yo, that's 1,000,000 views. I got 1,000,000 views today. Mm-hmm. I don't say I have 10. I don't say I have 20. I don't say I have 200. 500, whatever it is, whatever the number is in front, I put all the exaggeration on the end because I already see it, right? It's already there. It's already in me. I wake up every day already feeling that way, already successful, already there. Mm-hmm. You understand? And then things come and it just come. And you don't have to search for it. You don't have to beg for it. And I'm saying the same thing to you. Long as you keep going every day, you do that at NNA show, you keep doing your auditions and stuff like that, but already feel like you got the role. It don't matter if you ain't got that role, you got the role. The one that's for you, right? But it's for you. And everything ain't for us, even though we try it. I know it's a lot of people who try basketball. You might be good, but you ain't NBA, right? It ain't for you, but it's for you. So, no, I believe in it. I believe in the vision. I believe in people's resilience, having resilience, not being afraid to fail, right? Because in failure, there's lessons and there's learning.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who came up with the recipe for KFC, the Colonel, he said that he got rejected. I don't know. He said something like 100 and something time. It was his 101st time that he tried, and he got what he did. He didn't become a millionaire until he was 80 years old over a recipe over chicken, but he never stopped giving up. Can you imagine? He got rejected almost all his life for his chicken recipe. He tried every restaurant he could run across. Until one gave him a shot. And when that one gave him a shot, it was out of here. Now it's KFCs everywhere.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, no. Listen. Keep pushing. So, before we get out of here, we got to make sure that the audience gets the information on how to find you, how to follow you, and all of those good things. So, please, can you let them know how we can find you?
So the name of my YouTube channel, where you can find the Anane Show, as well as some other videos, is my name, Megan Claire Murphy, and the number 2, that's Megan Claire Murphy 2. And I'm also on Facebook under the name Megan Claire Murphy. I'm not on Instagram or anything. I'm still working on that.
Okay. Well, hey, y'all know how to find it. Y'all can find it on Facebook and y'all can find it on YouTube. The main thing we want y'all to go do is go check out the YouTube channel, especially if you have kids 8 and under. Go check out the YouTube page. Let's get Aunt Nene in rotation. Let's throw her in the rotation with Miss Rachel and Elmo and everybody else, all right? And the Magic School Bus and all that other stuff, all right? Let's throw her in the middle and let's get this thing going because, like you said, you just never know. That inspiration from her can trickle down to so many other people to just believe in themselves and believe in the vision that they was given, right? It may look big, but it's not bigger than you. If it was given to you, you can handle it, right? So to all the people that watched tonight that jumped off the north, I thank y'all, man. I appreciate y'all, right? And to those of you guys that's going to join us next week. Now, next week I have a guest on, but we know that next Tuesday is actually the election day.
Ooh.
I will, go on my regular time, but the election stuff doesn't start till about 9 p.m. Well, they'll go all day, but they don't really let you know who's going to do anything till about 11 p.m. We know that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a political platform. Y'all know that. Y'all know we talk about life and everything entails to it. So, join me next week, right, for y'all that will, and we're going to have our guest on, and we're going to chop it up, and then we're going to get into figuring out what our next 4 years is getting ready to look like, right? So to those of y'all that watch, again, like I said, thank y'all. To those of y'all that's going to watch the playback, thank y'all so much. Oh, before we go, I wanted to let y'all know, your boy is the ambassador of a new wine company, The Atlas Wine. I wanted to make sure I show y'all. All right. We got a new wine tasting that's going down at the LLC networking event that's coming up in February in 2025. I want you all that you can to be there. I will have more information and I'll be getting that to y'all and everyone out here as we continue to keep going, man. We're going into 2025, man. Big things are coming, y'all. So keep it locked. Don't forget, like I always tell y'all, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, peace.
Hello. Are we?
I think we are. We supposed to. It's still like we live. I don't know why. It's just going on. It just wants us to continue to talk. It will be good to stop whenever you can, please.